Good morning. Okay, we're into our series on Abraham, so I'm just going to go straight on. We're in Genesis chapter 16 now. Just going to begin reading Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Just to pause a moment, Sarai had reached a conclusion that God has kept her from having children. And so what she's thinking in her mind is that what God has promised was not going to happen through her. But she was wrong. She was wrong about that. The truth is and was that Sarai would eventually have the promised son. It's just that it wasn't yet God's timing. Let the Holy Spirit take that thought to your heart. You who are waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, stay patient. God's timing is perfect. God reminds me of Gandalf in Outer Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you remember. And Gandalf the wizard, it says this: "He is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to." That's God. So Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to a husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Now, in my last teach, I was talking about how Abraham got to the land God promised him, but he found that the land was in famine. And so he thought, without consulting God, "I'll go down to Egypt where there is food available." Unfortunately, because he didn't ask God, he was actually making a mistake. And by the time Abraham came out of Egypt, he had come to realize that seeking God first was a direction. Seeking God for direction was vital. That's what he learned, right? He also learned this: to trust that God was in ultimate charge of making sure that his plans and purposes would be fulfilled. And he believed that to such a degree, Abraham believed that to such a degree that he could let Lot choose where he wanted to go because he trusted God. Whatever Lot decided, God was going to have his way anyway. That was where he'd come to. But I did say at that time that he learned the lesson for a season only. Because Abraham, right now, is about to learn exactly the same lesson again. I know Abraham, he's not like any of us, is he? God teaches us something, we get it, and we move on. Abraham doesn't. So that's a joke. In case you're feeling uncomfortable right now. We're like that too. We have to learn the same lessons so often. So at this point in the story, Abraham is now 85 years old, and Sarai is 75 years old. That means this: they have both been benefiting from their old age pension for a long time. In fact, we have to work till we're 67. Back then, you got your pension after 25. Did you know that? That's a joke as well. I know. So they are old, is what I'm saying. And they have not conceived the promised son. And we heard last week, God promised, you're going to have a son, Abraham, through your own body, through your own flesh and blood. So when Sarai comes up, his wife comes up with this idea that of having a child through the servant Hagar, it was an acceptable practice, pagan practice of the day. And Abraham would know about all the pagan practices because that's where he'd come from. And it made absolute sense. God said, through my body, didn't mention Sarai, maybe this, you know, and he reasoned. And he married her, Hagar, his second wife. So just like it made so much logic sense to go down to Egypt when there was a famine, then it made sense to go with this servant girl. Now, Hagar was one probably of the servants that were given to Abraham when he left Egypt. If you remember, Pharaoh just wanted him to go. There was, you know, there's something bad happening. He needed to go. He gave him servants. Probably Hagar was one of those. So you could say that Hagar was a product of Abraham's last big mistake. Now, we get the reasoning here, don't we? It makes sense. Maybe not in our modern world, but it did then. The thing is, God wants to do a miracle in your life. Logical reasoning cannot produce it. Think about that. Logical reasoning can't produce a miracle. You see, miracles, they defy logic. Miracles are not confined to the usual laws of nature, and that's what makes it a miracle. God wants our expectation of what he can do to be greater than what we can humanly reason. And whatever our effort could ever produce, he wants to do more than that. Now that's called faith. Jesus said, you know, faith can move mountains. Human reasoning and logic says mountains can't move. And God calls us higher to live at a supernatural expectation level of faith, not walking by sight, human reasoning. I wonder what miracle God wants to do in your life. But time is moving on, and that you've been praying for, it's not happening, and you begin to think, well, maybe I can do something that will bring this promise about, just like Abraham and Sarai, to bring about the fulfillment of what God has promised. You see, maybe God, you feel God has promised you that your kids are coming back to God. And you've been praying every day for years. You know, for your child to come back to God, that takes a miracle. For any of us to come to God, it takes a miracle. It takes the Holy Spirit to open our understanding and our eyes to see Jesus. It's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle. For somebody who is walking in a wrong direction with their life, thinking that they've got it all together, and then somehow their eyes are opened and they see their need of God. They see their need of a Savior and they turn to him, is a miracle. But you've been expecting your kids to come to God. And so because time's moving on, you think, what can I do? and you drop Bible texts all over the house for them to see. If they have left home, they come and stay with you, you leave a Bible by the bedside, hoping that they will pick that up. You're constantly asking them to come to church. You sit them down and all you want to talk about is why they need God. The sad thing is that although you mean well, you actually become the biggest hindrance to them giving their lives to God. Because you can't do it. You have to know and trust God wants to win them. And so you try and manipulate and control them. And only the Holy Spirit can convince them they need God. Now the promise over your life could be a whole host of things. Like, you know, you might be looking for your future husband or wife. Now, I know Sue was greatly encouraged along this line yesterday when she caught the posy from the bridesmaid. She's in great expectations now. But if you're looking for a husband or wife, you can become so consumed by that you know, every time you see somebody, talk to somebody of the opposite sex, you actually become very strange and very weird to them. Because in your mind, you're thinking, is this my future husband? Is this going to be my future wife? And somehow, you become unattractive. Now, maybe, you know, the promises you find in yourself that you want to be used more by God in church ministry. And so every opportunity that you can get, you're in there with your latest revelation from God. Because people need to know how tuned in to God that you are. You know, God said to me this morning, put your red socks on. God said to me this morning, put that on and put that on. And you think, wow, what an amazing relationship this man has with God. No, you don't. But, you know, they want to impress you with their knowledge of God. And they think, one day I'm going to be on the platform and I'm going to be preaching. And you do everything you can to make it happen. You will be God's answer for the church. You know that. God said. You have to know, whatever God has promised you, He will fulfill it in your life. It is God who raises up, and it's God who brings down. God opposes the proud, those who think self-effort is going to do it, but He shows favor to the humble. Now, we should not be those who get impatient with God, but realize, if God is not raising you up, it's better that you don't raise yourself up. You know, quite often people say to me, in different situations that I'm in, dealing with different things, and they say, I don't know how you cope with that. I don't know how you put up with all that. I wouldn't want to be doing what you're doing. And I honestly say, in response to that, every time, I would not want to be doing what I am doing without God. I wouldn't want to be in a position of leadership if I knew that I am only here because of the way I manipulated people and circumstances to get here. My security and your security has to come from knowing that God wants me here. And if you know God wants you here, if you're doing anything else right now, you're outside of His will. So if we try to make things happen apart from God, there are consequences. Those who try and manipulate their loved ones into giving their lives to Jesus actually end up driving them away. Those who are doing all they can to find their marriage partner can end up either distracted for the rest of their lives or marrying the wrong person. Those who manipulate themselves into ministry can end up being destroyed by it or by their own character defects. And Abraham was no exception. He had consequences for trying to hurry things along and make them happen. So we read on. When she, which is Hagar, knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And Sarai said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. Now these verses contain a lot of mess, a lot of wrong behavior going on. So Hagar was wrong to despise Sarai, right? Hagar should have had more respect for her mistress. She was probably gloating about the fact that God had blessed her with a child and Sarai had no child. In other words, the favor of God is on me, but he's not on you. And so she was attacking Sarai's self-worth and value before God. Then Sarai, in her hurt, wrongly accuses Abraham. This was all his fault, despite the fact that it was her idea. Now, need I make any comments on this about, you know, I could make a point here about husbands being blamed for doing things that their wife wanted to do, but I'm not going to. I get myself into enough trouble. But then Abraham's response is he takes no responsibility for Hagar, his wife, right? Second wife. Or even cares about her in her pregnant state, carrying his baby. And he lets Sarai ill-treat her to the point where she is so abused that she runs away. A lot of mess. A lot of consequences for wrong decisions. So much upset and wrong stuff happens when we get out of obedience to God, doing things our way instead of God's way, not being patient and trusting in God's perfect timing. And you know what? If God doesn't do it, who are you to say it should happen? So Hagar does a runner. Let's pick it up. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. So Hagar, who came out of Egypt, right, originally, has come out of Egypt, which we know represents the world in Scripture so often, the world and its systems and its ways. And now she's running back there because this place in which is described called Shur is actually on the road back to Egypt. And interestingly as well, the name Shur means wall. Now, if you're a born-again Christian and you're facing some big issues in your life or trouble that just seems too much, don't even think about giving up and going back to the world that you were once part of. Don't think that what you are looking for, you will find in the world that you came from. But here's the thing, again, the grace of God, I am overwhelmed by the grace of God in the Old Testament. I almost would have told you years ago, I didn't think it was there. But God is the same God, right? God loves you too much to let you just run away. You know, God loved Hagar too much to let her go back to Egypt. Now, you may find yourself in a place of running away today, and you find yourself in Sheol, which means wall. You are hitting a wall in your Christian walk. And the place is the desert of Sheol. It's a place which is dry and barren and wall. If that is you today, God is speaking to you today. And just like he spoke to Hagar, which is remarkable in itself, that God would speak to Hagar and that God would speak to us, to you. Listen to what the angel said to Hagar. First of all, he addresses Hagar as slave of Sarai. Who do you think you are, in other words? Hagar, slave of Sarai. Let's just bring you down to earth for a moment. Let me just humble you for a moment. This is what God does when we're running away. Let me humble you for a moment. Let me remind you who you are. What makes you think that's okay, slave of Sarai, to be where you are and running away? And the angel says, where have you come from and where are you going? Good question. What direction are you moving in? Are you heading back to Egypt? Are you going back to the other gods? Where have you come from? If you're running away as a Christian this morning, God is saying this, where have you come from? You are moving from the household of the one, this is Hagar, of the one who the whole earth will be blessed through. That's where you are coming from. Where are you going? You're going back to Egypt and to the other gods. And God is asking some of you today, which direction are you going in? Is it away from God or is it into God? So Hagar was running away from Sarai's cruel treatment. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. So the angel is asking Hagar to turn back, in other words, change her direction in what she's moving in, and go and submit to the person who abused her. It's hard to follow Christ. It's hard to follow Christ because every challenge we face, it's a challenge to our flesh. It means that even when things seem so unfair, Hagar, go back and submit. Even when things are unfair, do the right thing. Now, consider Jesus, who left glory to become a servant, a slave, and be crucified at the hands of human beings who he made from dust of the earth. He submitted to that. The creator of all things submits to the cruelty of those he created. So Hagar is asked to go back and submit to Sarai. And she will be blessed with many descendants. The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man." Or the King James, I like, don't you? Wild ass. He's a wild ass of a man. "And his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." Now, what makes the story kind of special for me is that this angel who is talking to Hagar is no ordinary angel. This angel is referred to as the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in Scripture always talks as God. You see, we have in the Bible, we have angels of the Lord, we have an angel of the Lord, but this is the angel of the Lord. Always talks as God, and he exercises the responsibility of God. In other words, the angel of the Lord is an appearance of God himself. The other interesting thing about the angel of the Lord is there is no mention of the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. Because we see that the angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate Christ. Angel in this context is one who has been sent. And the Father is sending this Jesus in the form of an angel to speak to Hagar. That is the grace of God, right? Now think about this. God himself appears to Hagar, and Hagar is firstly this, an Egyptian. Which means a Gentile. So God makes a special appearance to Hagar. But then this Gentile is a woman. And we know that in the culture of the day, women were second-rate citizens. We know now they are not equal, right? But back then they were treated as second-rate, and in some parts of the world they still are. But God appears to a Gentile who is a woman, and not just that, she is a slave. And I just think that is quite remarkable that God chooses to do that. He values Hagar enough to appear himself to her. And God knows everything about her. He knows her lonely state. He knows her needful state. And he speaks to her. Because God knows her. He shows that he cares for her. He knows her situation right now. And he knows her circumstances. Just like he knows yours. And he promises her, "It's okay, you will have a safe delivery of a son. And you will call him Ishmael." Which means this. The Lord hears. When you see that in Scripture, the Lord hears, it's not just that he can hear what you're saying, but the Lord hears and he acts. That's the full kind of what it means for God to hear. He hears and he acts. And so, he is the God who hears. And the angel, or God, describes to her that her descendants will be a bit of a wild bunch. They'll be fighting with everybody and even fight with amongst themselves. They will live in hostility. Now, Ishmael became the father of the Arab nations. Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham, but he was not the son of promise that God. He was a product of Abraham's hastiness. There was still a son yet to be born by the miracle of God, not by their effort, by a miracle. One of the consequences of Abraham and Sarai's choice to have a son through the servant girl Hagar, starting with the birth of Ishmael and throughout history, has been the ongoing conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. Another indicator of who the angel of the Lord is comes out in what Hagar says. This is Hagar's response. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahal Roy, wherever it is. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son he had born. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Now Hagar appreciates and sees something about God. This God sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. God sees each one of us. The God who hears and acts where you are right now, he sees you. If you're running from God, he calls you back. It might be hard to make that decision like it was for Hagar, what it meant for her. But it's just the cost. It's the cost of coming back to God and into blessing. But the cost is worth it. We can so easily let disappointments, hurts, failings, the way we thought things were going to work out in a certain way, and they didn't. Circumstances of life that can take us all in the direction of Egypt, the world. Now, an angel might not be appearing to you today, but the Holy Spirit, who is God, is speaking to you and asking you to consider your direction. Is it towards God or away from him? Here's another question from today's reading. Do you feel like you're hitting a wall? Do you feel like you're in a wilderness, a dry place? The best decision you can make is, God, I want to come back to where I used to be. Back in your will and back in your plan for my life. And God wants you to see the God who sees you. I'm going to ask if anyone would like prayer this morning, because I just appreciate what God can do in an appearance. And God wants to meet you where you are. What is that disappointment? What is it that's kind of switched you off? that's sending you in a wrong direction. What is that? Know this, God will give you what he has promised to give you. Trust him is all you have to do. I want to add something just about us as a church. Because we're church, we can actually try and make things happen too. We can get into a trap of making church something that it was never meant to be. Church on a Sunday is not about putting on the greatest show on earth. It's not trying to compete with the world with our level of musicianship or showmanship. Church is about Jesus. And church is where you see love in action. We can do the best we can do, and there is nothing wrong with that, but there is something greater of the miraculous. There is something beyond what we can ever fabricate or work. It's the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit is able to so illuminate God to us that we are changed in a moment. His power is able to heal the sickest person, the most diseased person, even raise the dead person. And that defies all our logical thinking. But let's not get trapped by that. I would want us to be known as a church where the presence of God is, and that anyone seeking God can find him and encounter him in a reality that changes them. So this is not just individuals coming back to God, but this is us as a church making a declaration. We just want the presence of God to change us. It's not about magical hands or anything like that. It's God. God does it. God absolutely does it. And you know what? I just want to give him time to do what he wants to do at the end of this session. And I'm going to invite any of you, if you've been touched in any way, I'm not even going to ask you why you're coming out. It might just be just for, I just want to encounter God again. I just want to know his presence. I just want to know he's for me. I just want to know that. And you know what? God is so longing to meet with us. And we kind of, you know, we so often, we just kind of, we go through the stuff and we have our preaching. We say, let's go and get a coffee. And like, God wants to do stuff. So I've asked Paul, he's going to play a track for us. And it's about coming back. And it's about coming back to the presence of God. And if you want to just come and say, God, I want this. If you're hitting a wall, God, I want to come back. If you're in a dry place, God, would you pour out your refreshing on me again? I just need you right now. And we just look to God, because he's the one that does this. Amen? Thanks, Paul. If you want to play that track, and if you want to respond, please do come out.